We may now turn to the consideration of God's Word together, and we turn to the chapter previously read in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22, and we may read just now from verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. In some respects, what we desire to say this evening is a follow-up from what we were saying earlier today. And it is very interesting that when you consider all the content of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, how many things God has to say to children. If you read carefully through the book of Proverbs, it would not be difficult to come to the conclusion that God has provided children with a whole book. You read through the book of Proverbs and see how many times you read of addresses to a son. How many times you have the children addressed. You go through and mark how repeatedly these terms are used. And it's as though God is emphasizing through this book of Proverbs just how important children are to him. Now, you can see from the ministry of the Savior how different his attitude was to that even of his own disciples. When the mothers and parents brought the children to Jesus, seeking that he would bless them and pray for them, the disciples drove them away. They didn't think that these children would be of any great interest to the Savior. The Savior was used with speaking to the Pharisees on their level. He was used with debating with the scribes, who were the intellectuals of his generation. And why would Jesus take up his time with these little children? What did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Do not hinder them. That's what he's really saying. Do not hinder them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. I will receive them. Suffer them to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus went further in his ministry, and he said to adults, except ye humble yourselves and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when we come to this book of Proverbs and to these words that I'm sure most of us are familiar with to some extent, train up a child in the way he should go. This is the counsel, this is the advice of God the Holy Spirit. And because of God's care for his children, for his covenant children, he provides means for their salvation. Now, parents, get hold of this. We speak of the means of grace. And what we mean by that is God, who's the God of grace, has given us the gospel of grace, has provided means that we are supposed to use. If we are to receive that grace, if we are to be the recipients of saving grace, we must use the means of grace that God has ordained and God has provided. Why do we listen to the gospel preached? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we pray? Because these are the means that God has provided. Now, it can be very easily overlooked that one of the means, if not the principal means, toward the salvation of children is this here. Train up a child in the way he should go. That is God's ordained means for the saving of the children. Train them up in the way they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. So that when they're old, you will see the effects of this training. You will see the influence of this training. And you will see then that that training has been blessed of God. Train up the child and God will bless that means. Neglect that means and you can stop praying for the salvation of your children. It's very interesting how often parents neglect their duties and then they get concerned and they blame everyone and everything because their children are off into the world, because they've lost interest in the things of God, and because they're neglecting the means of grace. And it's the minister's fault, or it's the elder's fault, or it's somebody else's fault. We just simply cannot neglect God's own appointed means of grace and expect the outcome to be as though we had used them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now you and I know that according to the teaching of the Savior, there are two ways in which any of us can go. There is the broad way that leads to destruction. There is the narrow way that leads to heaven. And every single one of us this evening, including the children, are on one of those two ways. We are either heading toward hell itself, or we're on the way to heaven. Now by nature, you and I know there's only one way we're going to go. And you and I know, according to God's infallible word, there's only one way that a child is going to go. Now that can be easily forgotten and overlooked. The child is naturally, without the work of the Spirit of God in his soul or her soul, that child is bound for eternity and for a lost eternity. It is naturally on the broad way that leads to destruction. And unless that child is turned from that way, that's where it's going to end up. But God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, has provided means to prevent that happening. And one of the means is this, the training up of the child, so that that child knows the way that it should go. And if it happens that it does not go in that way, it is entirely the responsibility of that child. They go in the direction that is contrary to what they've been trained to go in. So let us consider these words together, noting simple facts. The first is simple. Since God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and God knows every one of us perfectly through and through, and God knows more about a child than anyone else. God knows a child better than the modern psychologists and psychiatrists and teaching fraternity and whatever else. Parents are running around today to parenting classes to learn how to be good parents. Well, God tells parents in His Word how to be good parents. If they follow the instructions of God's Word, they will become good parents. And here is what we know from God Himself. A child needs training. That is the first important point we must make. Train up a child in the way he should go. Why would God say such a thing? Because He knows the child needs to be trained. The child must be trained. The second thing that we may consider is what this training consists of. Train up a child in the way he should go. It is very important because the training that the child gets is for good or for ill. It will direct the child to a lost eternity or to a heavenly home. And it is vitally important that we understand what the training consists of. The third thing that we may consider is the importance of this training, for it is for the future. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, because the child naturally will grow through adulthood to old age, to become old, and there when they become old, they're on the verge of eternity. And when they are old, they are facing eternity. Has the training that they've had in their childhood prepared them for this event? Has it prepared them for old age and for what comes with old age? And the last thing that we may note is the nature of the training, what the purpose really is in this training. First of all, then, it is clear from what God says that no child should ever be left to itself. It is one of the most ridiculous, unbiblical, God-dishonoring ideas and notions that a little child needs to have room and liberty and occasion to express itself. We can't interfere. Parents must allow the little fellow to express himself. And if he feels like stamping a hole in the floor in his anger, let him do it. If he feels like wrecking the furniture because he's confused, let him do it. Let the wee fellow express himself. Because that's what it is all about. Because we're all individuals. We're all different. What's good for one may not be good for the other, and so on. God, as I said, knows the child because He formed it according to Psalm 139. He formed it in the womb. He formed its members one by one. He ordained the size, the color of the hair, the color of the eyes, the size of the hands. He, when he was forming that child in the womb, he knew absolutely everything about it. And he knew when the child would come into this world, what its needs would be. It would need a father. And it would need a mother. And it would need care. And it would need protection. But it would need to be trained. This is what God knows. And so, what does God do? Because of his love for his church, and because of his covenant commitment to his church, these children that are born into the covenant community, they are God's heritage. They belong to him. And therefore, what a privilege for any parent. When God gives his covenant children to particular parents, you see how many parents you can tell when you see some of the mothers today. They're so frustrated. Their children are bawling and yelling and screaming and shouting and kicking and stamping. And the mothers haven't a clue. What do we do with these little wretches? God bestows the great privilege upon parents to take care of children for him, to train them for a purpose. Why does anyone receive any kind of training? When a young man joins the forces, the military or the navy or whatever, to begin his training, he's training for a purpose. He doesn't, if he wants to become an air pilot, go off and learn how to become a doctor. If he wants to become a teacher, he doesn't learn the art of butchery. He trains and he receives the particular training that will fit him and equip him for a very definite purpose. Now, what does God say? Train up a child in the way he should, the way he ought to go. The way that he ought to go because I have appointed that way. I have a way that I want him to go in. And now I put you parents in charge to train him for that purpose. Now, what does that mean regarding the responsibility of parents? Why are they training their children? Do they want them? I want my son, my daughter to become rich. I want them to be influential. I want them to move into a good social setting, to make the right contacts and to get on well in the world. And they forget, God has given me these children to train for a specific purpose, to be part of his covenant community and to be of service to him. The children of many evangelicals today, yes, very well-meaning Christians, you've heard me speak of it before, they have adopted a sacrament, and although they don't seem to understand it, and they'll talk about the Church of Rome, perhaps, with its seven sacraments, and yet many of them have no longer two but three, because they have come up with the idea of what they refer to as dry baptism. And they go through all the motions except for the water. And they bring the child and they say, we're dedicating that, we're giving the child to God, when God has given the child to them. And then he has given them a promise. With every child, he gives the promise. And he promises to the parents, train this child for me, and I will be a God. I promise to be a God to the child as well as a God to you. And so they receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, God's promise, the sign of his faithfulness, his promise, I will be a God to you, I will continue to be a God to you, and I will continue to be a God to your children. Train them up then, because they need to be trained. And this is something that is a heavy responsibility. And in the days in which we are living, that training is more difficult than ever before. Parents, Christian parents, have all the voices of the intelligentsia and all the scholars and all the psychiatrists and all the psychologists and all the smart people telling them this is what you do and this is how you do it and so on. And they forget about God's word. The one infallible rule of what? The infallible rule of faith and practice. How do we learn what makes a good father? Where do we learn it? In the Bible. How do we discover what makes a good mother? We go to the Word of God. How do we learn what children should be like in a Christian home? From the Word of God. Train up a child. God says it. It's not the minister says it. It's not the Kirk Session who says it. It's God saying it. God says every child needs to be trained. Now, you will see that throughout the whole book of Proverbs, God speaks of the positive training and also the negative, what is to be avoided. And that is all something that every parent has to pay careful attention to and give attention to seriously because of their personal accountability to God for what he has given to them. Now, when we go back to the book that we were in earlier today, the book of Judges, chapter 2, just to refresh our minds, you will see one of the greatest dangers that I believe affects and has affected many children growing up in Christian homes. In Judges chapter 2, remember what the problem was with the new generation. The old generation had passed away. As we said earlier, they had great respect for Joshua. They gave him place. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. Then once they passed away, they completely changed. Once the older generation passed away, they took their liberty. They began to show what they really were. And why, you might ask, did the religion of the past generation not have greater impact upon the generation that was rising? Since they served the Lord, was that not a good example? Since they served the Lord all the days and all through the life of Joshua and the elders that outlived him, why did it not have more impact upon the rising generation? Well, the reason is clear. The rising generation grew up, yes, seeing religion. observing religion practiced. Outwardly, the serving of God. Respect for Joshua, the servant of God, and so on. But the problem was, it was dead, empty formality. It was dead, empty, formal religion. And if you observe and you speak to many who've grown up in Christian homes, yes, in manses, and you ask, why did you turn your back on religion? Why did you stop going to church? Why do you not believe the gospel? Whether it's an excuse, a lame excuse, a false excuse, whatever, very often they say, well, I didn't see the reality behind so much religion. Why do young people desert the church today? Because of what they say is hypocrisy. Oh yes, I see all the religion. I've been to all the communions and I've been at prayer meetings and I've been at the Sabbath services and I've been brought up with a religion, but it's just a shell. I didn't see the reality behind it. And that is a problem. Train up a child in the way he should go. It is intended to produce living reality. And this was the great problem with these children of Israel. You see, they adhered to the outward form. Paul calls it, when he's writing to Timothy, the form of godliness. The form. The form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, you need the form, but the form is worthless without divine spiritual power behind it and underneath it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And what is that to consist of? Well, first of all, it is to consist of teaching. It is to consist of exemplary living. It is to consist of instruction, of explanation, of example. And let me say, catechizing. Now, by catechizing, I don't mean just simply teaching the child to rhyme off the shorter catechism or the mother's catechism or some other catechism. First of all, teaching. Parents are meant to be teachers. That is obvious. Train up a child. It's your responsibility to train that child by instruction, by teaching. When you go back, it's very interesting how God laid out the law for his people before they went into the promised land, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And listen to what Moses was telling the children of Israel. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And not very long ago we were looking at how the nations were meant by God to observe the laws and the commandments that these people live by. And they would be saying, what nation has statutes and commandments like this nation? They were to be exemplary among the nations. But notice in verse 7 of this same chapter in Deuteronomy 6 what it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It was to be the most natural thing in the domestic circle, in the ordinary domestic home. This was to be the most natural thing. Teaching diligently the children, thou shalt talk of them. The conversation can center around the things of God when thou sittest in thine house. My, wouldn't that prevent a lot of gossip? Wouldn't this exercise prevent a lot of ill talk if we were talking about the things of God in our houses? Whenever someone comes to visit yourself, do you think, well, this is a wonderful moment. Here's someone that will enjoy talking with us about the things of God. That's how it was to be. Family visits. We'll talk about the things of God. We'll talk about the work of God. We'll talk about the attributes of God. We'll talk about the grace of God and how we've experienced it, and the love of God and the mercy of God. What blessed conversations we could enjoy if we would only get down to it. But you will see that God tells not just one generation how they are to teach, but if you look at what we were singing in the Psalm 78, you will see that God has made a special provision in this regard, Psalm 78, verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." Verse 5, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Notice there are three generations there together. You see, God has provided this training through two generations, as it were, are kept and held responsible for one generation. That's how important this training is. And you can see throughout Scripture where God says, fathers will teach their children and they will teach their children, or fathers will teach their children and their children's children. That's how God puts it. Their children and their children's children. Why is it that we have become so ignorant of so many biblical realities? You see, father just isn't a tag by which we identify certain members of the community. Father is an office. Being a father is to fulfill an office. being a mother is fulfilling an official role appointed by God. This generation does not appear to me to take these things very seriously. God here says, train up a child in the way he should go, and that training requires instruction, teaching. Teaching in order to mold and fashion the mind and the thinking. The word train there actually means, in a sense, to bend, to shape. Very often, those who are involved in gardening in these big, massive estates, you've perhaps been in some of these huge botanic gardens, and there's perhaps a walkway, and it's all covered over by vines or particular kinds of vegetation, and it is wired down to make it grow into a certain shape. And that's what here God is talking about. It is, the, as it were, the shaping of a sapling. Train up the child, because the child is to be treated like a sapling that can be shaped, and its character can be formed, and it can be shaped to become something useful to God and his cause. And that's what we have in mind here, train up a child. That's how it is to be done. But there is also more than mere teaching and instruction. Training requires explanation. All the children know when they're in school that a good teacher will want to ensure that what he or she has taught is understood. And no one is going to be successfully trained at any trade if they don't understand what they're doing. If they don't understand the theory or the practice, well, they're not going to be very successful at anything. When God says, train up a child in the way he should go, that means the parent has the responsibility to explain things. If you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 10, you will see that God told Moses why he was dealing with Pharaoh the way he was. And Moses might have thought to himself, this is a very prolonged, drawn-out exercise. I keep going to Pharaoh, calling on him to let the children of the Hebrews go, and he won't do it. And God sends me back, and another time, and another time. But God had a purpose in the way he was doing it. And no matter how little we may understand God's ways, there always is a purpose in the way he does things. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 1, we read, the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. What was God saying? You see, every time Pharaoh refuses to let the people go, it gives me an opportunity to display my power and to let Pharaoh know that I am actually God and that he will serve me in the end. And in verse 2 then, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that they may know how that I am the Lord. Not that just they might know I am the Lord, but that they might know how I am the Lord. And notice what I said earlier, that thou mayest tell it in the ears of thy son and thy son's son, fathers and grandfathers. They ought to be speaking about the same things. They ought to be in the same wavelength, addressing their offspring. And God so wants children to be trained in the way that he should go, that Moses is told, you don't just tell it to your children and then think your duty's fulfilled. You tell it to your children's children. As a grandfather, I hold you responsible in part for the training. These are matters of supreme importance. They are God's ordained means of grace. And if we neglect them, we then suffer for it. There has to be explanation, and when children don't understand, there should be open communication. Dad, can you tell me about redemption? Because that's what in Exodus chapter 10 God's talking about. The redemption of the Hebrew people, bringing them out of bondage, redeeming them. The blood of the Lamb was the way for their deliverance. Can you explain it to me? Can you tell me why? Can you tell me why Christ died? Can you tell me why God sent his Son into this world to suffer? Why he was crucified? Can you tell me, explain to me why I need Christ? Can you explain to me why I need a Redeemer? Can you tell me? Can you explain these things to me? Tell me, what is the greatest need that any child in this congregation tonight has? What is the greatest need that any child in this community has beyond the need of their immortal souls? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And parents train up their children to profit material, to profit intellectually, and that is all good. But if they lose their souls, what is it all worth? You think on the day of judgment what it is going to be like when we all have to appear before God to give an account of the deeds done in the body. And you hear the laments and the curses of children who get on well in this world and were encouraged to do so. And their parents praised them and applauded them. And their families did, because they got on so well. And the same are now in a lost eternity cursing the parents who neglected their greatest need, the need of their immortal souls. Do parents even believe their children have souls? Do parents really believe, my child, if not saved by God's grace, will be in a lost eternity? Train up a child, because this is God's appointed means of grace. Teaching is to be not only emphasized and to be done diligently, explanations are necessary, catechizing is essential because, and I'm not referring to rhyming off the shorter catechism and so on, good and all as that is. But it has been the custom in past generations that fathers or mothers would sit down and they would ask questions. They would ask their children questions to see how much they knew, how much they understood. Did they know? Did they understand the way of salvation? Did they understand why they needed to be saved? Why they needed a Savior? Did they understand that in all life there is one thing needful? Did they press it upon their children? There is one thing, my son, my child, my girl, there is one thing you must have. You must have more than anything. God's salvation. You need above everything you will ever achieve. You need God's saving grace. But you see, that teaching has to be consistent. And that training has to be consistent. One of the great problems is the same problem that occurred, as it's recorded for us in the book of Genesis, and the 25th chapter, you remember, the patriarch Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and she bore Isaac two sons. And you know who these sons were, Jacob and Esau. This is what we're told about them. Just think of it. This family, this household, these parents, these children. And God gives us a little look into this family. What do we read? Genesis 25, verse 27. And the boys grew. And the boys grew. Well, isn't that good? They grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And then this is what we read. And Isaac loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. The boys grew up knowing this. These two boys grew up and they knew, as Esau knew, I am my father's favorite. Jacob grew up. And he could say to Esau, well, you may be your father's favorite. I'm my mother's favorite. You remember, we're dealing with a family. A family with the same kind of concerns and practices and attitudes and temperaments as any other family. But God draws our attention to this because of the evil that it produced. And how often it's the case that children grow up and they grow up careless and they grow up worldly minded and they grow up with wrong attitudes because there isn't harmony between the parents. That is absolutely essential. I have seen homes where children rule the roost, as they say, because the father has a certain concept of what discipline and order means, how to train the child, and the mother disagrees, and she says, no, it should be done this way. And so often, yes, even Christian mothers, yes, they'll admit, oh, my husband, he's the head of the home. But as C.H. Spurgeon put it in his own humorous way, oh, yes, he's the head of the home, but the mother is the neck that moves the head. And so often that is the case behind the scene. And look what happened. You just have to read through the life and the experiences of Jacob and Esau to see that the lack of harmony, the lack of unity, the lack of agreement, it brought many sorrows and many pains into this family. Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. That was not good. And God is pointing this out to us, how important it is that father and mother are in agreement. And that every child is as important and as precious to both as they ought to be. It is disastrous whenever father and mother don't agree. Because the children grow up, as we're told, the boys grew, and as they grew, they could observe things. And they could detect things, and you just imagine a bit of a squabble between Esau and Jacob, and Esau is saying, well, I don't care about you, Jacob, because I'm my father's favorite. He likes me better than he likes you. And then Jacob would say, well, that's up to you, but mother likes me better than you. Now you can imagine what the consequences of that would be. And let us not pretend that that doesn't happen today. It happens. It happens. And it happens, yes, even in Christian homes. But you will see that when God says, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is for a purpose. The training is to produce a man who, when he is in old age, gives evidence of the blessings of that training. That when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why does he not depart? Because he appreciates what he has been taught. He appreciates the training. He appreciates what that training has done for him. And what has it done for him? When he is old, he will not depart from it. He will stay on that road. He will stay on that road that he's been trained and his mind has been trained and he's been influenced by the power of truth as he's been taught it, to know the difference between the broad way and the narrow way. He has learned there are two ways. And he has discovered that by nature he's in the broad way. Now that's what, young people, you must know. Tonight, if you do not have the saving grace of God in your soul, do you really understand and do you really believe where you're going? Do you really believe that your feet are carrying you to a lost eternity because you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you go astray like a lost sheep from the moment you're born. What is the purpose of God providing parents to do this training, to teach, to instruct, to be the means? You who are in a state of grace, do you thank God, you who have been brought up in a Christian home, do you thank God for the means that he sovereignly provided for your soul's salvation? Do you thank God for your father with all his faults, with all his feelings, that he taught you the way of salvation? Do you get down on your knees and thank God for the mother with all her weaknesses and blemishes? He earnestly prayed for your soul's salvation and showed concern that you would come to Christ. No matter what else you would achieve or fail to achieve, you knew her concern is for my soul. And I thank God that I was born into such a home. I praise God that he gave me such opportunity, such privileges. Woe be to me. Woe be to me if I end up in a lost eternity after all that God has provided me with. You see, as the children of Israel, through Moses, they were, the purpose of God dealing with Pharaoh as he did was that the Hebrews who would be redeemed and delivered would know why he was God. And they would pass on from one generation to the other the knowledge of God's redemptive power. They could not but speak of the blood that was shed and how they were redeemed by that blood when the angel of death passed over the land, and they were protected by the blood of the innocent lamb. It was that blood that secured their redemption and their salvation. And it is primarily the parents who are to teach and show their children the way of salvation, the way of redemption. They must therefore speak of Christ. They must draw the attention of their children to that blood that Peter says is the precious blood. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood. Do children grow up believing this? My, that blood is precious to my father. That blood is precious to my mother. And that blood I want to be precious to me. The girls grow up. If God will spare me and keep me, I want to follow the example of my mother. Sons growing up, are they of a mind? Because of my appreciation for all that my father has done for my soul, all the way he has shown his love for my soul, his care for my soul, his longing, yearning for my soul's salvation, I want to be like him. Sadly, there are children that grow up in Christian homes sometimes, and they think to themselves, well, I never want to be like my father. I never want to be like my mother. I want to be somebody of importance. I want to be up there in society. My father was just a bit too godly to fit in. My mother was too given over to prayer, to spend time in socializing. I want to get out there. I want to be somebody. I want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Train up a child in the way that he should go, not the way he will naturally go, not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And you see, you and I cannot know the way in which any child should go unless we listen to God. And what does God say? Through his own Son, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the child needs to be reconciled to God and needs to be taught that. And they need to be taught and instructed, the only way you will ever be reconciled to the Father, reconciled to God, is through Jesus Christ and through his beloved Son and the atonement that he made. Where is a child supposed to learn the gospel? Where, I ask you, is a child supposed to learn the gospel? Or you say, well, he needs a good minister, a sound ministry. My child needs to go to a Christian school if we can find one. My child needs this, needs that, needs the other. The child needs, above everything else, by divine appointment, godly training in the way that he should go. Now some of you have been receiving that training. Some of you here, you've been receiving it. What have you been doing with it? Are you rejecting it? Or are you receiving it? Are you improving under it? Or when you look ahead and you think to yourself, well, if I keep going the way I'm going, there's nothing more sure, there's nothing more certain that I'm going to be in hell forever. If I keep going the way I'm going, that's where I'm going to be. In spite of my training, that's where I will be, because God's word doesn't change. Train up a child. Oh, parents, train up those children. Be the means of their soul salvation. Train them for eternity. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we pray that thou wilt enable us not only to understand thy word and the solemn responsibilities that it lays upon us each one, but enable us to be doers. We need thy grace to be doers. We can understand so much and practice so little. Oh, help us, we pray. Bless every dear parent here tonight. And remember every child and every young person as they are under training. Work, we pray, by thy Spirit to bless that training to their eternal salvation. Hear us, pardon us, and accept us for Christ's sake. Amen.